Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us.
Consumers can really help here. Consumers can vote with their forks to an extent. Now, that doesn't get you off the hook from being a citizen. You also have to vote with your vote.
Today's guest is Eric Holt Jimenez. He is the executive director of Food First Institute for Food and Development Policy. And the mission of this institute is to eliminate the injustices that cause hunger. Last week, Eric and I talked a little bit about some of the things that people can do to help in this cause and help with food sovereignty worldwide. Let's talk a little bit more about some of those things. What are some of the structural causes of hunger and poverty, and how is Food First working to overcome these?
Well, I think the biggest structural cause of hunger and poverty is the impoverishment of farmers around the world. Over 70% of the hungry people in the world are farmers, and they actually produce over half the world's food. And most of these are women, and the problem is that they have to sell their food cheap as soon as it's harvested in order to pay off their debts. And 3 months later, they're buying the food back again, and then it's very expensive. And that's because it's gone into this global corporate food regime, which basically gouges poor people around the world. So what we've got to do is to change that food regime so that farmers can get a fair price. I think it'd be a fantastic thing if people really began to pay attention to the U.S. Farm Bill, which will be coming up soon. And rather than paying a lot of subsidies to farmers because they can't get a fair price for their crop, just ensure the farmers a fair price. Mm-hmm. Because if farmers got a fair price here for their crop, then farmers abroad would get a fair price for their crop too, because we set the price here in the U.S. And taxpayers wouldn't have to be sending all their dollars into subsidies. The subsidies get passed on right away to the grain companies who get to buy the grain cheap. So let's just set a fair price. And there are different mechanisms, many different mechanisms for doing this. There's no big science involved. We just lack political will. So I think people really have to get involved with this upcoming farm bill. Now, the farm bill is actually a food bill, and there are many titles in the farm bill which have much more to do with our food supply. And rather than subsidizing food supply, which is based on corn, genetically engineered corn, and corn-based products, which is making us sick, we should be supporting fresh, local, to the extent that it can be local, healthy food production. And we should also be supporting mid-sized and small farmers so that the food dollar ends up staying closer to where the food is produced instead of being spirited off into corporate coffers. And that's both a production problem and a consumer problem. So consumers can really help here. Consumers can vote with their forks to an extent. Now, that doesn't get you off the hook from being a citizen. You also have to vote with your vote. But you can spend your money locally, and then you can, as a citizen, work for regulations and incentives to keep the food dollar closer to your community, because the food dollar could be part of an engine for local economic development. So you can support local grocery stores and local farmers, and part of that is farmers markets, but part of that is also, for example, making sure that zoning regulations promote the sale of local food and the different food stands and grocery stores and whatnot, and not simply, you know, invite in Walmart or Fresh and Easy or one of these monopolies who suck the food dollars out of our communities.
Yeah, it was interesting to me hearing about the local farmers market. It hasn't been around in Humboldt County for all that long, I think maybe 30 years. But before that, it was illegal for farmers to sell their produce directly to people, which is just boggles the mind now.
Yes. Well, we also have to be careful with this whole food safety business, because many of the regulations which are coming down, and there should be much, much more regulation on industrial farming and on the confined animal feedlots and this type of thing. There certainly needs to be more regulation. But we have to have another set of regulations which support small and medium-sized farms. A completely different mode of production for which the regulatory policies of large agribusiness are absolutely inappropriate. And so that things don't happen like that, that we have regulations which only favor large industrial farms and then either disincentivize or actually prohibit small farms from producing.
You know, one of the other things I wanted to talk to you about was some of the labeling on things, you know, looking at the fair trade label and what does that mean and shade grown. And, you know, some of those things that, you know, when we're buying products, say coffee, that's really difficult to get coffee that's been grown in the United States other than Hawaii, but coffee and chocolate and things like that. You know, should we feel pretty good about some of that labeling or, you know, how do you think that's working?
Well, unfortunately, we can't feel good about all of the labeling anymore. There was a time when you could. But it's been rapidly colonized by industry. There's a good coffee company called Thanksgiving Coffee. It was a pioneer in basically fair trade right up in your area. And so if you buy Thanksgiving Coffee, I think you can be assured that it is fair trade. But Transfair, for example, now the largest fair trade group in the U.S., in some of their products, only 2% of the product is fair trade. So we're really not helping very many farmers when you buy with Transfair. So we have to be a little more discerning, and it takes a little bit more work on the part of consumers to figure it out. And that's why the notion of voting with your fork is not a bad notion, but it's become a slippery slope, and it's certainly not enough to bring about the changes that we need to bring about.
Sure. Can people get involved with Food First, perhaps as volunteers, and get involved in some of these policy issues?
Well, you know, it's funny because when people come to Food First and look in our offices, which are in a big old house down in Oakland, they say, where is everybody? Uh-huh. And we have a very small staff, and most of our work, a tremendous amount of our research, is in fact done by interns and colleagues and fellows working from different universities around the world or different social movements around the world. But at any given time, we have at least 15 interns working either at Food First or virtual interns. So it's a wonderful way to get involved and decide whether or not you want to go to grad school. Do you like research? Do you like action research? Do you like applied research? Because we do all of that at Food First. So that's a tremendous way to get involved. Another way to get involved with Food First is to become a sustainer. You know, we are the only think tank in the United States that is primarily funded by our members. Almost everybody else has to rely on grants coming from the foundations. And that's very difficult. One, because there isn't a lot of money out there right now because of the economic crisis. And also because often research becomes foundation-driven rather than problem-driven or need-driven.
Right.
So we base our research on the needs of the communities and on the social movements. And we can only do that because we are supported primarily by our membership. So you can become a sustainer of Food First, and that will help tremendously. And the other thing you can do, aside from buying our books, is to invite us over for a talk and help us sell our books and help us get the word out.
That's actually a great segue, because I do want to let everyone know that Eric Holt Jimenez, Executive Director of Food First, is going to be on campus at Humboldt State University on Thursday, April 21st at 5:30 p.m. in the Behavior and Social Sciences Building, Room 166, to provide a presentation as part of the Environment and Community Program Sustainable Future Speaker Series. And for more information about the presentation, you can contact Noah Zerbe in the Department of Politics at 826-3911. And it looks like we've run out of time again, Eric.
Well, thanks for having me on your show.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
And I'll see you in Humboldt.
I'll see you then. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Eric Holt Jimenez, Executive Director for Food First.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, do I?
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.